Hey everybody, welcome to the Ground Effect Podcast, where we dive into the heart of Formula One, bringing you the latest news, insider analysis, and sharing our thoughts on the motorsport we love. So come and join us, G and Mick, as we look forward to what promises to be an exciting 2025 Formula One season.
G'day F1 fans! Finally, after 3 weeks, the Belgium Grand Prix is here and it's also a sprint weekend. Naturally, plenty to talk about. The Red Bull shakeup, of course, Max Verstappen's future, Ferrari. Well, if they bring the upgrade, the rear suspension, does it fix their problems? And of course, the battle resumes between Oscar Piastri and Lando Norris. Mick, we're in for a big one this week. Probably a wet one, a classic Spa race weekend.
Well, first of all, I'll tell you what, it's been 2 weekends with no Formula One and life is pretty boring, I must say. So I'm looking forward to getting stuck back in. And like you said, weather is certainly going to play a part this weekend.
Yeah, well, it looks like a chance of rain, particularly, I think, on Friday morning, potentially Saturday. Cool temperatures as well, around 20, 22 degrees. Of course, we know how the weather can change drastically over that part of the world. But yeah, most likely a classic Spa weekend. We'll get stuck straight into Red Bull because naturally that's where a lot of focus is going to be. It's going to be extremely strange not to see Christian Horner on the pit wall.
I tell you what, the Red Bull media team are going to earn their money this weekend, man, because they are going to be under the pump. You know, I feel sorry for, especially mainly for Max, because I think Max is going to cop the brunt, obviously, because there's the whole Christian Horner thing and then the rumors about where he's going to be in 26. I think we're going to see a pretty cranky Max come race day on Sunday. But yeah, it'll just be interesting to see how they go over the whole weekend. Look, I think for Max, the biggest thing is just a good performance. And on the back of that performance, you'll tend to quieten down the media noise, right? So I think that's probably the biggest aim. But yeah, man, they are going to be under the pump this weekend, especially with the media.
Look, I don't think much changes over there as far as operationally. I mean, Mekis can't change anything in, what, a week or two. So I think it's just be business as usual. Max will be competitive. He does well here. He's won here plenty of times before. Yuki Tsunoda, probably some good news out of his side. And it's kind of what we thought with the promotion of Mekis, was we thought Yuki's seat would now be safe until the end of the year. And it looks like the reports have come out that have suggested that he'll definitely be there until the end of the season, which I think is a good thing. As much as exciting it could be, if you're a neutral, not a Yuki fan, of course, to see what the shuffle could be. But I think for Yuki's case, he's good enough to still be in F1. I just, hopefully he can prove that over the next 12 races.
From Yuki's side, I think probably not a bad weekend because, like I mentioned before, most of the media focus will be around Mekis and Verstappen. So he can sort of maybe just go about his business quietly. The biggest thing for him, I think I've said it before, I don't believe it's about trying to get yourself as close as you can to Max Verstappen pace-wise. Now, your only goal is to score as many points as you can over the weekend. We know Red Bull are going to bring some upgrades, and I'm kind of expecting them to run that sort of low drag that they ran in Silverstone. Cooler conditions, we know the Red Bull likes the cooler conditions, and a cranky Max, I think Red Bull are in for a pretty good weekend.
And saying that, it'd be pretty interesting if they do take that risk with the potential rain on Sunday, because obviously it didn't quite work out for them in Silverstone, but there's no harm in taking these type of risks because realistically, he's a very outside chance of still being in this championship. Can't write him off, but realistically, it's an outside chance. So I think they can definitely take some of those big risks. You're right, Yuki. I mean, really now it's about getting into Q3s and qualifying, top 10 finishes, and just consistently. It can't be just one-off 3 races, not so good. It's got to be consistent from here on in. Let's go to Ferrari, because Ferrari is the interesting one. Obviously, they've been testing that rear suspension. It's not a true one-for-one test on the car. Did they do it on the current car, or was it on an older car?
Yeah, so
I think it was on a test tire, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, I believe, well, it's actually a filming day. So I believe it is on the current car. But they're only allowed to do, I think, up to 200 kilometers.
I think it's 100 miles.
Yeah, 200 kilometers or something like that. So
yeah, limited.
Yeah, very limited. I think the biggest thing is they're just looking for a more consistent balance. Car, especially that turns well in low speed and trying to get that car to run as low as possible because when it's low, it's fast. I mean, they already have a pretty decent straight line advantage. They're going to be quick in the straights. There's no doubt about that. Ferrari seem pretty good around here. They've had, I think, 4 podiums in the last 4 or 5 years. You know, also you've got Lewis, who's got 6 wins around here. I'm expecting them in general, even probably without the rear suspension upgrade, would probably say they'd be pretty competitive. And at the moment, we can see that they're clearly second behind McLaren. So I'm expecting that to continue. And hopefully these rear suspension upgrades work.
Well, the reports coming out, whether it's true or not, they reckon it's up to 0.1 of a second, right? They're basing that obviously on very limited testing, as you said. So it will be interesting, because if they do nail that and they get that right, it'll be interesting to then to see how they can then set the car up, because it seems to be that they're obviously setting the car up around that limitation. And we have seen, like you mentioned, you know, when it's in the window, it's actually not bad, like race pace wise. It just bodes well for the next 12 races, because it just means, you know, maybe they can snag a win or two, particularly Lewis. Hopefully he can get his first podium in obviously a feature race in the red.
They've got to sort Saturday out too. We've seen they've struggled a little bit on Saturday. So hopefully this upgrade works and they can find a bit of Saturday pace as well, because then it really does help them on Sunday. And I think, yeah, I think they're going to be strong contenders anyway.
Speaking of which, McLaren resuming the battle. Now, you said in the post-race review from the British Grand Prix, Oscar Piastri, the inner beast, has been awoken.
Yeah, I believe that that Oscar's going to come out and try and prove a point here this weekend. Looking back on it, I said I didn't have a problem with the penalty. You could probably say, if you looked at the earlier laps before that, he might have been robbed. But we saw finally a little bit of emotion come from the young fella. And I think, yeah, the beast is about to unleash. But at the moment, the momentum's with Lando. That suspension upgrade seems to have given him that feeling at the front end that he was looking for. And since then, his performances have gotten better and better. And I mean, they're bringing a new floor, which they apparently tested in Silverstone, and it was a success. They're introducing it here this weekend. And I'm just, yeah, man, I'm expecting 1-2. I don't think they'll be touched, especially if the race is dry. They'll cruise on down the road again.
Yeah, interesting with Lando. I don't think people give him enough credit, because naturally, everyone gives him he's the bottler, he cracks under pressure. But in reality, like when I look back at it, yeah, Saturday had been messy quite often, but he's always been able to bounce back during the race. Oscar, yeah, I'd love to see him bounce back, get a win, of course. Maybe the cooler conditions, maybe it negates a little bit of McLaren's advantage, but there's still, like we keep saying it, head and shoulders above everybody else. I think the only equalizer that sort of will come is if we get the wet weather, maybe in qualifying throws things up a bit, and of course on the Sunday during the race. Otherwise, battle to resume, and of course team orders, they've all been team players up to this point, but coming into this next half, we're going to see a little bit of individualism and ruthlessness, I think, from both sides.
I think it's a pretty important for like weekend for Lando as well, because it is a track in terms of race results hasn't been the greatest for him. And we saw Oscar got on the podium last year, and I think he finished third and then ended up second with the penalty to George. Again, it's a sort of circuit that suits Oscar a little bit more. Lando, man's just got to ride that wave. No doubt, man. He's championship material. He's just, they're still young, man. This is the thing, right? They're not like a Lewis Hamilton or a Fernando Alonso who have been around for 150 years, right? So, of course, they're going to make mistakes, man. They're still young guys. We're expecting them not to make mistakes because they're in such a dominant car.
I think it's just because of what happened at the end of last year with Lando being in the battle and then sort of falling away at the end. So, obviously, reputations stick for a long time. But I think he's doing a pretty good job, and it'd be silly to write him off at this point. All right, Mercedes, winners out here with George Russell last year. Obviously, that got taken away from him. Lewis Hamilton then stepped up and took that win. Cooler conditions, we always say it. We think they'll be pretty competitive here. Little pressure on, I would say, Kimi Antonelli at this point of just, you know, he's had a little bit of bad luck, obviously, with a few DNFs, mechanical, but also a few of his own doing. So it'll be good for him to sort of get back on the horse, so to speak. George Russell will be interesting because, obviously, the speculation around even where his whereabouts is going to be in 2026, they'll definitely be in the mix for a podium for sure, particularly with George.
At the moment, you'd have to say George is carrying that team. They have struggled in the last few races. They haven't been that sort of super consistent team that we saw sort of the first half of the start of the year. Kimi will be looking to bounce back. I think it was good to have that little bit of a break, a bit of a pressure release for him. Now he can sort of reset and and get stuck into at least these next two races and go into the summer break with a couple of good performances. But I'm with you, man. Generally, cooler conditions. So I'm expecting them to be definitely in the mix. They'll definitely be top five.
All right, Williams. Well, to be honest, I mean, we gave them such a lot of kudos earlier in the season, and then they sort of just dropped off the pace. A lot of DNFs. They had obviously the problems with, it seems to be, with the Mercedes power units. Carlos Sainz having plenty of bad luck. Last time out, I think, was Albon. That was only in the top 10. I mean, James Vowles, he must be looking to turn things around, that's for sure. Now, he has come out reportedly and said that they're pretty much focused on 2026 from this point forward, but there was potentially an upgrade coming this week, maybe?
Yeah. So the reports are they are bringing a small upgrade this weekend. We've seen reliability is starting to become an issue. Hopefully these upgrades, I think, are mainly around cooling, if I'm not mistaken.
So well, that makes sense.
Yeah, so hopefully these upgrades sort of bring them back to the best of the rest where we've seen them at the start of the season. Carlos has mentioned that they need to look at how they execute the weekend because they've had such a competitive car the start of the year, which was a little bit unexpected for them. They sort of just fell off a little bit with the execution generally around qualifying and how they execute that part of the weekend. You would imagine the cooler conditions, cooling's probably not going to be such an issue for them. They have a pretty slippery car. So I'm expecting them to probably go back to being best of the rest this weekend.
Yeah, I've been saying at most previews, double points, and then it's just all falling apart. So I've probably jinxed them a bit. But hopefully a little bit of good luck swings Carlos's way because he has had some pretty bad luck. But I expect double points, which means I've jinxed him again.
But you've got to put yourself in a position, right? Like qualifying. And that's where Carlos was saying we need to look at how we execute qualifying because we keep saying it. If you don't execute qualifying, you're putting yourself in positions where you will end up having the bad luck and ending up more than likely with damage during the race, which then affects your race results.
Well, the issue is it's so tight amongst the midfield teams that there's not much between them.
Yeah.
And you get stuck sort of qualifying, say, P11, P14, that position, you're kind of stuck there for the majority of the race unless you are obviously on a track that you can pass easy enough or you get some magical strategy going, but it's tough.
A tenth of a second is the difference between 10th and 18th. Yeah. Like, that's ridiculous.
Well, I think I was just reading somewhere, haven't looked too in-depth into it. I just saw the headline that Alpine, being last in the championship at this point of the season, has scored the most points for any constructor that's been last.
Yeah.
So it sort of just goes to show how it's quite tight in that midfield to the end because, you know, that's a crazy statistic. Halfway through the season and you have the car or the constructor last that has scored the most points in Formula One history in the last place. So yeah. Let's go into Stake Sauber because it was magical last time out at Silverstone with Hülkenberg's podium. Again, I think everybody loved that and it will never, ever be forgotten, of course. Now, I don't think they're going to back it up this weekend, but a little bit of rain. I reckon Hulk's riding on a bit of confidence. I mean, if you look at his results, you know, qualifying has sometimes been haven't quite executed well, but he's been able to then come through and he's done it over a few races. Look, I think they're top 10 potential here. They're definitely not the Stake Sauber that of last year and what we saw at the beginning of the season. Clearly the upgrades have been working pretty well, but I would love to see Bortoleto start to be a little bit more consistent and possibly, you know, crack a few top 10s as well coming up.
Saturday is where they need to improve. Like we've seen, they're probably like the fourth best team on the grid at the moment. Those upgrades that they bought, I read recently that they weren't even expecting those upgrades to work. And then the way they have has basically changed their whole upgrade philosophy and the direction that they went. And I mean, man, it's certainly working and they're definitely the best of the rest. They've got super strong race pace at the moment. It's just Saturday letting them down a little bit. Hulk's done pretty well around here. He's had a couple of P4s, I think 2016 and 2011. So he's good around here as well. On the face of it, you're going to have to say it's probably going to be between them and Williams.
Racing Bulls, just like Red Bull, obviously under new leadership with Permain coming in, nothing much changes. Business as usual over there. I just think for them, they'll be looking for a double top 10 finish. Nothing much changes with Liam Lawson. It's about nailing the Saturday. And I guess for Isaac, it's just keep the mistakes to a minimum, and I think they should do pretty well here.
It'll be interesting to see what sort of, like you said, influence Alan Permain has, if he has any. I mean, you wouldn't go in and change too much, I mean, because that team's doing a pretty solid job right now. They need double points this weekend because they have struggled to score consistent points really since Miami, except Monaco, where they're both in the points. So for them, I think, yeah, it's just double points. And the constructors' battle at the moment is so tight. You can't afford to have an off weekend.
Yeah, well, just looking at it now, I mean, they're sitting on 36 points overall. Obviously, the top four are quite some way ahead. Got Williams on 59, then Kick 41. So Racing Bulls 36, Aston Martin 36, Haas 29, Alpine 19. So it's a race there for P5 or the wooden spoon, as far as I see it, for those last five teams on the grid. It will be interesting to see how the next 12 race weekends plays out. They look like they just look like such a happy team. If you go by what you see on social media, etc., the contrast between them and Red Bull is just black and white. I think the battle there right now for the Racing Bulls is purely between Lawson and Hadjar with that potential promotion into the senior team. So that'll be just a really good, I think that'll be cinema watching them over the next half of the season. Now, Aston Martin, Fernando, Stroll, I think we just see the same. Stroll will consistently unimpress us all. Fernando will impress us and show that he's still got it.
Yeah, I mean, look, we're guaranteed Stroll will come in and look like he doesn't want to be there. He looks like he'd rather be on his old man's yacht somewhere. But he'll be looking to continue a bit of momentum too. Remember, off the back of that seventh place, they've had pretty decent results here in the past. The upgrades seem to have brought some performance. But I think you're right. I think it'll be Alonso doing most of the damage this weekend.
To be fair, I completely forgot about Stroll's last time out effort in Silverstone. Wasn't too bad. And again, he's winning the inter-team battle championship on the points. Back to 20 points versus Fernando's 16. So if you just go by purely by the points, he's winning that inter-team battle. I thought when Fernando finally got off zero and then got past Stroll, I thought, oh, that's it. You know, joke's over. But, well, here we are. Stroll back in the lead. I don't think it lasts long, though, in all honesty. All right, Haas, Ocon and Behrman, I don't think anything changes for them. They can, if they get things right, they can crack a top 10. We go back to what we always say. They're out of the points last time out. Someone's going to get in the points this weekend. It's just a given.
Their upgrades that they've brought have seemed to have brought a steady gain in performance. We saw that, especially on the one-lap pace. We saw that with Behrman's P8 in qualifying before he ultimately got 10
penalties.
Yeah, the 10 grid penalty for a pretty ridiculous incident.
It was just an incident.
Ocon slowly getting a handle on that car. He's had a couple of good results now. If Behrman can put himself around where he qualified last time out in Silverstone, we know, man, he's a solid little race car driver. And on a Sunday, he can perform. So I would, yeah, definitely put money on at least one of them scoring points this week.
On to Alpine, of course. Again, another team, bit of speculation around, obviously, with Franco Colapinto. Again, the reports, depending where you read, he's guaranteed to the end of the year. Still hearing rumours about Valtteri Bottas, a few others. So Colapinto, really, the future's in his hands. He just needs to perform. He needs to match or exceed Gasly at least. I mean, if he can pick up some points, top 10, that'll go a long way to cementing his position. Gasly, on the other hand, he was a good result last time out, P6. Maybe ride a little bit of confidence, but it seems to be with that Alpine car, it's very inconsistent. You see them on some race weekends, particularly Gasly, of course, competitive through practice, maybe a good qualifying effort. Maybe the race strategy doesn't really go their way, sort of backwards and forwards. So I guess they'll be looking to build on that. I haven't heard of any, to be honest, Alpine, I just haven't really seen any upgrades or heard any news coming out from their side of things. It's just purely the driver speculation.
I haven't heard of any upgrades coming for at least this weekend. They may bring something for Hungary. I'm not too sure. But you're right. Gasly is, I guess, similar sort of situation to maybe Red Bull. You know, Gasly's the only one that seems to be able to drag any performance out of that car. Previous results, the car seems to suit that circuit. They've had a couple of top 10s in the last 4 years. And you would have to say it would be Gasly that's going to drag the points, if anyone. Colapinto, same as Yuki, man. It's not about closing the gap anymore. You've just got to score points. We've mentioned it heaps of times already. That midfield battle, you're sitting at the bottom. You're not that far off moving up. So it's important. And I mean, that adds more pressure to Colapinto as well, because it is so tight.
It's hard for Colapinto because when you look at him, look, we know he's quick. It's just any driver under pressure, you can see it clearly. He's just overdriving the car. A lot of little mistakes, just trying to push for the extra tenth or two. You got to wonder how much that is damaged his confidence. And also he knows that he's so on the edge where, like you said, it's so tight. If you can pick up that 1/10, the difference between going from like Q2 to Q3. And there's a few places here at Spa where if you don't quite get it right, you can have a big one. So yeah, let's see. Franco needs a big one. It's tough. It's got to be tough for a young guy with all those rumors swirling over your heads.
Well, not just that, right? You've been thrust in. And the biggest thing, especially for young drivers, is getting their head around the tires. So you didn't have a pre-season.
Yep.
You've been thrust in. So essentially your pre-season was from the time you've jumped in that car.
Yeah.
And you're expected to be on the pace. It's hard work for a man. And I feel for the dude. But because there is such pressure, we're starting to see a little bit of desperation in his driving, I think.
Now, quick one. We did forget at the start. What's Pirelli bringing this week? Are they going for...
So they're throwing a spanner in the works this weekend. They're bringing the C1, skipping to a C3, and then a C4. So obviously they're trying to, again, make the strategy a little bit more dynamic.
I don't think they've ever done that, have they? That I can remember where they've skipped a compound. They've normally kept them... You know, obviously.
Yeah, like bang, 1, 2, 3, 4 kind of thing. Yeah. Well, last year was predominantly a one stop, right? So I think by skipping the compound, they're just trying to make the race strategies a little bit more dynamic, try and push teams into a two stop. Cause we see when there's a two stop race, the difference in compounds or tire age produces such good racing. Strategy wise, it should be pretty spicy. If it's going to rain, I don't want it to like pour down.
Yeah.
I want it like mixed conditions, right?
We don't want it. Yeah. Mixed conditions is great. We don't want to see red flags, too much water on the circuit.
Yeah.
You know, like the most useless thing in Formula One at the moment is the full wet. Like, will we ever get to see the blue striped tire being used?
So apparently a lot of drivers complain about full wet because one, they complain about the amount of spray. And it's not so much aquaplaning that they're complaining about. It's the lack of grip in corners because the full wet, they've added, you got the little tread blocks and they reckon that they just overheat.
So basically it is the most useless thing in Formula One.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I mean, it's good at getting rid of water, but it's just, because they have so many tread blocks on the tire, the tire just overheats so easy. Yep. And then they just say, we've got no grip in the corners. It's not even aquaplaning that we're worried about. It's the fact that we have no grip because the tread blocks just get soft and move around.
Well, let's see. Maybe they make a little sneaky appearance this weekend. All right, we'll close it up. Throw me your predictions, your top three, and again for the sprint race and the feature race.
Oh, that's a bit
hard. It's hard because of the whole weather conditions as well. Well, that's a lottery.
Yeah, exactly. Lottery with the mixed conditions that Spa throws up. I'm going to say sprint race, Oscar, Lando, Max. Main race, Oscar, Lando.
That's fun for you to say, Max.
I'm going to say Lewis.
Hey, podium.
Yep.
Not a bad shout. Yeah, sprint race, I'm just going to go with Oscar, Max, Lewis.
Oh, yeah.
And the feature race, I'm going to go Max, Oscar, Lando.
That's pretty good. And I mean, look, if Max can get the win, a lot of the media noise goes away. Obviously, the driver speculation thing is going to hang around until a decision is made. But I think a lot of the heat will then dissipate. And I mean, I hope it does because I'm sick of looking at Christian Horner's face. on any news article.
Yeah.
I mean, the last 3 weeks, it's just been nonstop Christian, Max, helmet, you know, this, that. And then you throw the Max rumors on top of that. It's just, I mean, even Max has got to be getting the shits, man. Just like, and that's what I'm saying. Come Sunday, we're probably going to see a pretty cranky Max. And a cranky Max is a fast Max.
Well, it's good. We've got a race this week. Obviously, the following week, we move on to Hungary and then into the summer mid-break. So at least 2 race weekends in a row. But love to hear your thoughts at home, who you think are the top 3 for the sprint race, feature race. Maybe if there's a driver that might surprise you, maybe we get another Nico Hülkenberg-esque performance out of somebody else, particularly with the wet weather. You love the content. Of course, it helps us with a big thumbs up and a sub. So we appreciate the support as always. And until then, we'll catch you on the next one.